Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, July 21st, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe came under a barrage of criticism from the two MDC formations and the public today after saying the country's moribund economy was beginning to recover.
We do not know which Zimbabwe he is talking about. Maybe he is talking about his neighborhood in the Borodale, but the rest of Zimbabwe are suffering. There are no jobs, there is no good service delivery at all.
The 20th International AIDS Conference entered its second day in Australia with the delegates paying tribute to some colleagues who perished in the Malaysian air disaster Thursday on their way to the event.
The mood is a bit dampened because of the loss of some of our very, very senior colleagues that we lost in the air flight crash. And because of that, it has kind of changed the way we are normally upbeat about a conference like this one.
And civic organizations today held meetings with media houses throughout the country to sensitize journalists on key issues on the oncoming Southern African Development Community People Summit to be held in Bulawayo. President Robert Mugabe came under a barrage of criticism from the two MDC formations and the public today after saying the country's moribund economy was beginning to recover. Seeking to cool down the increasingly restless nation, Mugabe said yesterday that, quote, "Let me assure our people that the country's economy is on the recovery path. Government is going to employ several measures aimed at achieving desired results," end quote. But his MDC opponents and ordinary Zimbabweans came out swinging today, accusing the 90-year-old leader of being out of lockstep with the economic realities of the day. Spokesman Nhlanhla Dube of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ncube says instead of mending the economy, Mugabe continues to decline at an alarming pace.
The reality is that individual debt, that corporate debt, is continuing to balloon. Families are failing to pay for children at school. And you find that you are getting even more company closure. You can't tell me that an economy is growing, an economy is mending, when it is in fact bleeding faster than it was bleeding in 2008. The reality of the metantumanini is this, that when you speak about an economy, when you speak about an economy that is in resuscitation mode or progress, you give us the decimals and the commas. You give us the measurables. You give us empirical evidence. You must, for instance, show us how many youth you have provided with jobs ever since you started this government or in a certain period. You must show us how many industries have turned around from closed to open and therefore running profitably or at least running to employ people. You must show us the plans that you have put in place to curb the leakages in VESA. You must show us in reality what Zimbabweans are having in their pockets at the end of every month. You can't just speak about an economy turning around from wishful thinking. That is not different from sloganeering.
That was spokesman Nhlanhla Dube of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ncube. Dube's sentiments were echoed by MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwonzora.
We are extremely astounded by what President Mugabe has said, that Zimbabwe's economy is on the mend. We do not know which Zimbabwe he is talking about. Maybe he is talking about his neighborhood in the Borodale, but the rest of Zimbabwe are suffering. There are no jobs, there is no good service delivery at all. And there is a lot of poverty that has manifested itself in Zimbabwe. So there is certainly no sign that the economy is on the mend. The industries are still closed. The factories are closed. The shops are closed. There is massive deflation in Zimbabwe. So we do not know which economy he is talking about. But certainly if it is Zimbabwe, then he is not right. And we are not surprised that President Mugabe can talk like that because he's extremely isolated. And we suspect that he may slowly be turning senile because the economy is totally, totally bad. Civil servants are not being paid and there are no definite salary debts for civil servants. How then can a president say such an economy is on the mend?
But he's citing Zim Asset and the so-called integrated result-based management system as the key pillars that are contributing to this recovery.
Well, it is not what program says on paper that matters. It is what it does in practice. Zim Asset is dead rubber. Zim Asset has shown that it won't create anything. For example, in terms of Zim Asset, Zimbabwe must produce 2 million jobs. And we are 1 year past the election. Not a single job has been created. In terms of Zimmer said there must be service delivery. There is no service delivery. There are no policies that attract investment in Zimbabwe. In fact, even the Chinese are running away from Zimbabwe and they are going to Zambia. Therefore, Zim Asset is not working at all. That so-called integrated something is not working. So it's not the words that matter. It is the practical implementation of programs.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora on the line from Harare. But ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo vigorously defended Mugabe's position, saying indeed the economy is on the mend.
Well, that's the MDC mantra. They always talk about Zimbabwean economy not performing well. Theirs is to criticize. They have nothing to offer on the ground. They were with us for 5 years. They didn't do anything tangible. Now that we are involved in trying to turn around the economy, they jump up and start moaning and growling about this. It doesn't help. The key thing is that we must look at the economy itself and say, are we doing well or not? Have we started doing better than we were doing last time? The answer is yes. The president is correct. He sits right at the top there. He sees what is on the ground, reports coming from ministries, reports coming from various institutions, companies, parastatals, and so on. The governor of the Reserve Bank is on record that, you know, the economy is improving, is showing signs of improvement. The banking sector is sound and stable. Banks have declared profits. Some of these things were not happening during the unity GNU. Those things were not happening. So these things are happening. Obviously, economic turnaround and the economy, it takes quite a bit of time. It's not going to be an overnight transformation of the economy.
ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo in Harare. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa appeared to differ with President Mugabe's views as he told Parliament today that the Zimbabwe economy won't grow as expected as the country continues buying processed goods.
We just have to hammer and hammer hard into the mindset of our people that the days of burning money, of miracle money, are over. What is required of us is to work hard to produce in the productive sectors. It could be manufacturing, it could be mining, agriculture, tourism. We just have to produce goods and services that we can transact amongst ourselves and also we can export. Without that, it's not fair for anyone to talk about a miracle economic recovery.
Chinamasa noted that targeted sanctions are also causing havoc on the economy.
We have sanctions. Where Zambia, where Mozambique is going into European and American markets, bond markets, to raise money. And the experience I'm related to me about countries which have gone into those markets is that where they go looking for 3 billion, they get 7 billion. That avenue is not open to us as I speak because of sanctions. And I think we need to appreciate. Not that we should be overwhelmed and intimidated. We should try to work within the constraints, within the parameters are facing us.
Chinamasa further noted that Zimbabwe is failing to access new lines of credit as the country is failing to settle its foreign and domestic debt, now pegged at $9.9 billion.
And a lot of the initiatives that I'm making is basically to make contact and try to restore friendship or relationship rather, so that we can start talking about how we are going to do with clearing of the arrears. Currently, the country has no capacity to clear the arrears. Currently, we have no capacity to service our loans. And that basically is what I've been telling those institutions. And I've also been telling them that if they were good creditors, they would give us fresh money, especially to the productive sector, especially support to the private sector, so that they build our capacity to be able to pay the arrears and the loans.
Meanwhile, Chinamasa today announced that the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange has been transformed from a mutual society into a public company, with the government holding a 32% stake and brokers 68%. Chinamasa, who today signed the agreement that changed the 60-year-old society into a company, said the shareholders will soon sell part of their stake to the public. But economist John Mufukare of the Employers' Confederation of Zimbabwe tells reporter Junga Kandemiri that while he welcomes the developments, since it is in tandem with the world trend, he does not approve of the government holding shares, as this may scare away some investors.
The benefit is that a private company is the way most other big stock exchanges are run. So really, this way, we are going towards a best practice, which is obviously to be commended.
And the bad side of this transformation?
The bad side of the transformation is the percentage that is being taken up by the government. The government is taking up almost a third of the company, of the shareholding in the company. And this is disturbing because it is a fact that to many people out there, there is still a country risk factor associated with Zimbabwe. And this association is not so much with Zimbabwe, the country, as Zimbabwe, the government. So naturally, those people who have this perception will be now looking at the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange with a lot of misgiving and mistrust.
Can we see some investors pulling out or investors continuing to have confidence in the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange?
Jonga, it now depends on whether these investors we are talking about are the ones who look at Zimbabwe as having a country risk factor, or the ones who ignore the country risk factor associated with Zimbabwe. So obviously, we have two groups of investors. The one group which perceives a country risk factor will obviously be looking at this with a lot of fear, whereas the other group of investors which do not see a country risk in Zimbabwe will not be affected by it at all.
That was Employers Confederation of Zimbabwe Director John Mufukare speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. The 20th International AIDS Conference entered its second day today in Melbourne, Australia, with delegates paying tribute to some colleagues who perished in the Malaysian air disaster Thursday on their way to the event. The executive director of the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, or SAFAIDS, Lois Chingandu, says there was a lot of sadness at the event as they remembered the delegates who died in the crash where 290 people I beg your pardon, where 298 people died. Despite that serious setback, Chingandu tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye she is impressed by the high level of representation by Zimbabwe's health officials at the conference, attended by more than 12,000 people.
The mood is a bit dampened because of the loss of some of our very, very senior colleagues that we lost in the air flight crash. And because of that, it has kind of changed the way we are normally upbeat about a conference like this one. However, we are still trying to use the opportunity to understand that these colleagues died coming to a conference to contribute to HIV, and therefore we should not let them down. We must keep the momentum, we must stay focused, we must stay committed.
What are some of the issues that you are hoping will come out of this conference, especially for Zimbabwe and the Southern Africa region where you are working?
Usually, this kind of conference takes place once every 2 years. And the purpose is really for us to re-engage, to look at if there are any studies that have been done, is there any new information that is coming that we need to take and use in our program. And so normally when we come to this conference, we are really coming to learn and to hear if there is new information. One of the things that I can say that seems to be clear is the understanding that HIV is still with us. Even though it is declining in some countries, we still have a lot of countries experiencing new infections. But we also know from the last 2 years that really treatment works. And we know that we can make a difference by ensuring that people go on treatment. So one of the key things we are hoping can come out of this is a commitment, particularly from our own government, our own African government, to commit to ensuring that they sustain treatment programs with our own resources and not just through donor funding.
That was Louis Chingandu, the Executive Director of the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, or SAFAIDS, speaking with Studio 7's Mavelase Mhlanganyahuye from Melbourne, Australia. Civic organizations today held meetings with media houses to sensitize journalists on key issues on the economic Southern African Development Community People's Summit to be held in Bulawayo from 15 to 16 August ahead of the SADC Heads of State and Government Summit taking place in Victoria Falls next month. The People's Summit runs on the sidelines of the Head of State's meeting where the civil society compiles people's demands and hands them over to the governments at the summit. Matabeleland and Regional Chairman for Zimbabwe Coalition on Debt and Development, or ZIMCOD, Liberty Bebe, tells reporter Sithandekile Mhlanga issues identified so far include youth unemployment and economic freedom.
We have established two what we've called organizing committees. One committee that is in Bulawayo and involving civil society organizations, churches, labor movements from the southern region, and another committee that is in Harare. Today, there was a media sensitization activity for Bulawayo, but the same activity has also happened in Harare, where the media is being sensitized in terms of what are the issues that the People's Summit is going to deliberate on. And then second, we are having regional summits, which are sort of preparatory engagement towards the main People's Summit. During the People's Summit, we are hoping to come up with a communique which is going to be presented to the Heads of State Summit.
What issues do you see as likely to be presented to SADC for consideration?
The People's Summit has actually come up with five or six things that it is focusing on. The first one is an issue of around economic freedom, where we're talking about tax justice issues. The second one, with human security, issues of violence, issues of peace building and issues of human trafficking within the SADC region. Issues around trade justice as well. You're looking at the harassment of cross-border traders. We're also going to be looking at issues of governance, democracy and human rights.
That was Liberty Bebe, Matabeleland Regional Chairman for the Zimbabwe Coalition on Debt and Development, or ZIMCOD, speaking on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, the government says it is satisfied with the preparations for the Heads of State and Government Summit, and more than 700 high-level delegates are expected to attend.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, millions of Muslims worldwide, including some in Zimbabwe, observe the holy month of Ramadan. And the bitter fight between Dynamos and Capes United continues. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. U.S. President Barack Obama on Monday called on Moscow to use its influence over pro-Russian separatists to allow international investigators unimpeded access to the victims and crash site of the Malaysian passenger plane that went down in eastern Ukraine last week. In remarks at the White House today, Mr. Obama said the truth must come out and international teams must be allowed to access to the crash site, which has been blocked by separatists. The president said Russian-backed separatists are removing bodies from crash site without care, calling their actions an insult to those who have lost loved ones on MH17. Mr. Obama said the burden is on insurgents holding the boxes and will turn them over to international air crash experts. The so-called black boxes record cockpit conversations and information about the plane's operations. Millions of Muslims worldwide, including some in Zimbabwe, are currently observing the holy month of Ramadan through prayers and various activities. In a nation like Zimbabwe, where the majority of people either follow the Christian religion or traditional beliefs, not much is known about Ramadan and Muslim culture. In this first edition of a three-part series on the holy month of Ramadan and Muslim beliefs, we look at fasting, which is one of the five pillars of Islam. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba reports from the Midlands capital, Gweru.
The holy month of Ramadan this year started on June 28th and is expected to end July 28th in most parts of the world. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Muslim calendar year, during which strict fasting is observed from sunrise to sunset until the month ends with a feast called Eid al-Fitr. Ramadan began as a holy month when the first Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad on what is known as the Night of Power. According to the Islamic Society of Rutgers University, fasting in the holy month involves abstaining from food, drink, and smoking. It is also about self-restraint and bringing followers closer to Allah. The call to prayer, which is performed to mark the start of five prayer sessions undertaken by Muslims a day, becomes more significant during the holy month of Ramadan. Ali Mack is an imam or preacher at the Mosque of Light in Kwekwe. Mack, who became an imam after completing a five-year course at the Islamic College in Harare, says Ramadan is one of the five pillars of the religion.
This Ramadan is the ninth month on the Islamic calendar, and it was made compulsory for each and every mature Muslim, male or female, to fast for 29 or 30 days. This is an order from God Almighty. He has said in the holy book of the Muslims, the Quran, that kutiba alaykum ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum usiyamu kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That all you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, just as how it was prescribed upon those who were before you. For the main reason that you may gain taqwa, that is the fear of God Almighty.
The other pillars of Islam are prayer, faith, pilgrimage, and zakat, which means everything belongs to God and wealth is held by human beings in trust. In most cases, Muslims hold their prayers in mosques, and this includes during the month of Ramadan. In Harare, they gather at the Islamic Center in Waterfalls, and in Belvedere, while in the Midlands capital, Gweru, they congregate at the Gweru Islamic Center. In Kwekwe, they assemble at the Mosque of Light, which is situated in the city's central business district. Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo, is also home to hundreds of Muslims, mostly drawn from Malawian immigrants. Gweru resident Mrs. Yasmin Milanzi grew up in a Christian family but later converted to Islam. She says many people have a lot of misconceptions about Islam and strongly believes that these can be dispelled if they take some time to know more about their religion. Like her colleagues, she is currently observing Ramadan. Mrs. Milanzi explains that a typical day of fasting begins with a light meal known as suhoor, which is eaten before dawn. The day ends with gathering at a mosque for a sunset prayer, the recital of the Quran, and dinner. Mrs. Milanzi says the end of Ramadan is marked by almsgiving and some festivities which are almost similar to Christmas.
Ramadan goes for about 29 days, sometimes it's 30 days. So after those 30 days, that's when we celebrate. We call it Eid al-Fitr. That's when we will be happy celebrating that we've finished fasting. So we buy clothes for our kids, the whole family. We buy presents also for each other. We go to the mosque to celebrate with others. That's to encourage unity. We cook different types of food. We don't eat pork. Our meat is halal. It means permissible. We don't drink alcohol or anything that is alcoholic.
19-year-old Asim Milanzi is a young Muslim. She says contrary to some beliefs, Islam is not a religion with strict rules. She says the religion fosters moral uprightness, especially among young people.
Islam is not a strict religion. When they think about the religion, most people focus on the way female Muslim dress and they criticize this. But as a young Muslim, I feel that the dressing is cool because it is decent. Some young girls wear skimpy or tight dresses and they go out in semi-naked state, which is not good. And I believe that the banning of the mixing of boys and girls during prayer and other activities like workshops is also good because it limits the temptation of engaging in premarital sex.
Another 19-year-old youth, who only identified himself as Imran, is also a follower of Islam. He agrees with the view that the holy month of Ramadan also enforces discipline among the youths. There are an estimated 1.6 billion Muslims around the world, making Islam the world's second largest religious tradition after Christianity, according to the December 2012 Global Religious Landscape Report from the Pew Research Center's Forum on Religion and Public Life. The Pew Research Analysis notes that nearly two-thirds of Muslims live in the Asia-Pacific region. The research indicates that more Muslims live in India and Pakistan, where there are 344 million followers, than in the entire Middle East North Africa region, with 317 million. Local Islamic groups have put the number of Muslims in Zimbabwe at 1.2 million. But some researchers and various organizations believe that there are less than 100,000 Muslims in the country, which is dominated by Christianity and local traditional beliefs. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shawa.
Thanks, Taurai. And listeners, please note that tomorrow in our continuing series on Islam, we are going to focus on the spread of Islam. And in sports news, the fight is not over between Dynamos and Caps United, who were dumped out of the One Wallet Cup by Dimbare yesterday, as the two teams prepare to clash once again this week in a Castellaga Premier League match. The bitter rivals fought it out on the One Wallet Cup sponsored by NetOne, with the Dynamos beating Caps United 1-0 to proceed to the next stage of the tournament. Dynamos joined Haumine, who knocked out Bulawayo Giants Highlanders on Saturday. Unfashionable Triangle, who beat Harare City, and Chicken Inn, who pushed out FC Platinum in the last four. The draw will be conducted next week. Winners of the competition will get $80,000, losing finalists $50,000, semi-finalists $30,000, and each of the teams that lost in the preliminary rounds $20,000 each. Highlanders are currently on top of the league table with 30 points, ZPC Kariba, Dynamos and Caps United second, third and fourth respectively with 27 points. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about the state of the Zimbabwe economy, as ZANU-PF says it is now on an upward trend. You believe that? Join the discussion. Text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. In our mailbag today, Pretorius Kamurewa writes, "I'm very thankful for the work you are doing, my brothers and sisters, but on internet live streaming, I think that is where you are starving real people of information. If possible, do not repeat your main news, but rather reserve that time for live talk. Most of the people in Zimbabwe don't have internet access. Keep up the good work of informing the Zimbabwe public," he says. So we say thanks very much, Pretorius Kamurewa. If you wish to express your views on Studio 7, please send us a message on our hotline. Leave a message of your choice. The number is 1-202-205-9942. That's it for today. But before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe came under a barrage of criticism from the two MDC formations and the public today after saying the country's moribund economy was beginning to recover.